We are continuing our study on the doctrine of the church. This is already the fourth study beginning from the beginning of this year on the doctrine of the church. We have already covered the universal church. There are two things that I would like you to remember concerning the universal church. One is the head, the other is the body. Now, we need to keep this in mind as we study the local church. The head. We are told that we must give all preeminence to him. He is the head of the body. The body, it must not have any party spirit. Its oneness must characterize this body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, as we go on to the study of the local church, the preeminence of the head is very important. The headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the unity of the members of this one body must be kept one. Now, these are the two main thoughts we need to remember as we study the local church. When we come to the local church, then we must realize that the local church is actually the universal church on earth. And therefore, the local church must be its replica. What the universal church is, the church on earth should portray and should reflect. And because of this, the local church must also acknowledge the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ and must be united in one spirit and one soul and one mind. The local church has been left on this earth. We find in the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17 that he prayed to the Father that the church, those who believed in him, should be left behind on earth. It's so easy, isn't it, for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment they believe, to be taken up into heaven. But no, the Lord said to, and he prayed in his prayer to the Father, I pray not that you should take them out of this world. They should be left in this world. What's the purpose? And here, therefore, we see the very vision and mission of the local church. We are left in this world for a purpose that we, while we are in this world, we must not be of this world. We are in this world, but we are not to be of this world. In other words, to be influenced by the world around us. We are to be separate. Remember, we are sanctified saints. And the sanctified saints, we are to be holy. And being holy, we are to be separate from this defiled world. We should not be adopting the ways of the world and make them into the ways of the church. But while we are in the world, not of the world, we are to go into the world. We must realize that all around us, there are people, there are sinners who are lost. And they need to be saved. They need to be brought into the fold, that they might also be in the church. And therefore, we are not taken out of the world. We are left in the world, but we must not be part of the world. Of course, we are part of the world, but we are not to be part of the system and influence of the world. An affluence of the world, so much so that we are part of them. We are to be separated, and we are to be not of the world, but we are to go into the world and to bring these people in. Now that should be the mission of the local church. And above all things else, at the very last part, at the conclusion of Lord's Prayer, the Lord said that they may be one as we are one. And a few times this phrase is repeated, as we are one, as we are one. You see, the local church on earth must reflect what is the universal church. And what God is essentially, He is one. And that was the meditation of our thoughts this morning at the Lord's Supper, that we may be one as He and the Son and the Spirit are one. So, the local church. In our study, we touched on the place name of the church. And that's why the local church must not have a partisan name. It must not have a name that puts it out from the rest of the other churches, that makes it a partisan party. It must be a church that is united with all others who call upon the name of the Lord. And that's why we have a neutral name, the Gospel Hall at Ayayitam, the Gospel Hall at Green Lane, the Gospel Hall at Burma Road, and so on. And the people in the church, we discovered, are saints. They are members of the one body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they should be united. And we also realize that in the church, there are only the elders who are above us, they that have the rule over you. There is no other above us. And therefore, we should not accept a shepherd that is above everybody else. Christ, remember, He must be given a preeminence. He is the chief shepherd. He is the bishop of our souls. There cannot be a chief bishop from among men. There cannot be a pope from among men. There cannot be an archbishop from among men. All the other elders, they are not chief shepherds. The chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. They are sub-shepherds. They are the under-shepherds. They are under the one control of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is preeminent. The local church must be self-supporting in personnel resources, and that's why every member of the local church is given a gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I understand that Bumaru Gospel Hall is having an exercise now to ask its members to fill in forms to show how they can participate in the activities of the assembly, especially so in preparation for the new building that is coming up. And I do pray, and I do hope, every one of you here will volunteer to come forward, because no one can say that he or she has no gift. As I pointed out at that time, no one can say, you are no good, you can be dispensed with. No one can say, I can do all things, I need not have your help. No one can say all this. Everyone is needed. Everyone is indispensable. And therefore, I hope that all of us here will fill in that form and contribute whatever we can. It's the recognition of these members that they have gifts. It is the utilization of each one of them. Every member must have a gift to be used. There is no such thing as a full-time worker. A full-time worker, everyone is a full-time worker. No part-time workers. Wherever you are, whoever you are a worker for the Lord. And therefore, we need the cooperation of all church members to come together to work as a team. Then we also learned that local church must have its financial resources, that it must not depend on other people, especially unbelievers. We thank the Lord that all the buildings that our assembly has put up so far, we have never borrowed a single cent from the bank. We have never taken a cent from a funfare promotion. Everything has come from the Lord's people and from the Lord's church. We praise the Lord for that. And the new building, we know how the Lord has provided us with such a large amount of money that we can ever even dream of. The Lord is ever the provider. Every member must contribute towards the building of its own church building. And that's what happened with regard to the tabernacle. Everyone has to bring in whatever is needed for the construction of the tabernacle. So every member has a part to play. The supply must come, and it must come from the members and no other. We are not going to collect any money from the outside. We are not going to collect any money from the unbelievers. Our source is from the Lord. The Lord provides all. And therefore, Through expansion, we grow. The church must also be self-propagating. Through expansion, if we grow. And we are told, just now we have been reading quite a lot on Ephesians, that when the Lord Jesus Christ rose, when He is risen, He gave gifts to all men. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Apostles and prophets, we read just now that they have become the foundation of the household of God, the church. Then we have the evangelists. The evangelists are given to us in order that they might go teach us, the local church members, to go out to bring others in. Remember, these gifts are given that they may equip the saints for the ministry of the church, of the body of Christ. That these people, gifted by God, come to our place, they teach us so that we may be prepared, we may be equipped to minister to our brothers and sisters. So, not only the evangelists to go out, bring people in, but when these people are brought in, then we have the pastors and teachers to build them up. And so the church grows up. The church grows up because God has gifted men and women and men of God who have gone out into this world, to the church, to be evangelists, to bring people in, as well as to build those who have brought in up so that they will really grow in the church. A church, a local church, must be self-propagating. It must also be a going church. You know, recently, together with a few here, we came back from Taiwan, APEC. And a lot of emphasis was laid on the church and the Great Commission. However, the Great Commission was stressed on people going out into the world. What I felt was lacking was the extension of the kingdom of God through individuals. Let us remember that while Matthew 28:20 is true, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, it is also equally true that you are witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, every individual Christian, not only the church as a whole, every individual Christian is a witness unto God, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, where you are. And that's why I said there is no such thing as a full-time worker, because you are working full-time as a nurse, as a teacher, as a factory worker, as an engineer, whatever you may be. You are a full-time worker serving the Lord as a witness in Jerusalem, where you are, in Judea, to your neighborhood, and to Samaria, even to places that do not want to receive you. All these places where you are stationed, you are a witness. That is the way to extend. There is no excuse for people to find churches. Today we find, oh, where can I go? The church should be finding them, searching for them, bringing them in, so that they will come to know the Lord. We must not just have the gospel meeting and hope people to come in, but we must go out to bring people into the gospel meeting, if ever we have the gospel meeting. Now, in a New Testament Transformation Discipleship Study, Lifeway Research found 80% of those who attend church one or more times a month believe they have a personal responsibility to share their faith. But 61% have not told another person about how to become a Christian in the previous 6 months. I'm very sure that if I ask all of us here, do you believe that you must go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, 80%, according to the statistics here, will say, yes, definitely we must do it. But if I ask you further, how many of you have shared your faith with somebody where you are the last 6 months? I'm sure this statistic will come true, that over 60% have not told anybody, have not shared with anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I go further, there will be more still who have not shared the Lord Jesus Christ at all since becoming a Christian. And that's very sad. You shall be witnesses. This is the purpose of the local church. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19-23, we must have a sense of vision. not only corporately as a church, but individually, personally, as a Christian. We must have a sense of. Paul says in chapter 9, 19 to 23, and you might see this phrase repeated again and again, again and again, that I might gain some, that I might gain some. We must have a vision. We must have a vision to bring some to the Lord Jesus Christ, to share our faith with them. We must have a sense of mission. 1 Corinthians 9, 16, 18. Paul says that if there are the weak, I become as weak. If there is strong, I become as strong. If there is a Jew there, I shall be as a Jew. If there is a Gentile there, I shall be as a Gentile. Not to compromise, but to be what they are, to be where they are, in order that I might share my faith with the of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. So this is a mission, and that is what is meant by be ye witnesses where you are. There must be a sense of passion. Paul says, look, I'm prepared to be all things unto all men, that they may be saved. I am prepared to be all things unto all men, that I may gain some. This is the passion. The passion. Now, some of us, as we live our life, the kind of life that we live today, we seem to give the impression that we have a long time to live. There is no urgency at all of bringing in people to come to know the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ says himself in John 4, 35 and 36, say not ye, there are 4 months more until the harvest. For look, the harvest is already white to have. White. And yet, you are doing nothing about it. Don't say 4 months more. And if you look at the world's conditions today, we know that indeed the church has a great challenge to go out, because every sign around us is pointing to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, there should be a sense of action being planned out in our lifestyles. For 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23 tell us that Paul says, by all means, I might save some. This is the passion. This is the mission. This is the vision of the local church. This is the what we need to do. And as we go into the new building, perhaps next year, Lord willing, if we do not have this kind of mission and vision and action and passion, we are going to have a building that is empty. Empty. And it's going to be a white elephant. A church is made up not of pews and chairs, but of people. People. And so, concluding what I should have finished last study, a church towards God should be God glorifying, Christ centered, spirit stimulating, and Bible based. If you are looking for a church, then please look for these characteristics. Towards self, it must be self-supporting, self-propagating, and self-governing. Remember this, there may be people coming into our midst who may be false teachers. Now, we are told in 2 Corinthians 11, 12 to 15, receive them not, neither bid them Godspeed in 2 John 8, 11. Receive them not. These subvertives come as apostles, as angels of light, and it is actually Satan in disguise. So we have to take care of subversives that come. And this is the problem that local church faces. Unless the local church knows its word well, then subversives will come in and they will bring false doctrines and false practices into the church, and then soon we find the church becomes inactive. Acts 20, 28 to 13. Paul called the elders in Ephesus together at Miletus, and he warned them, look, when I'm gone, false teachers will come into your midst. Not only false teachers from outside, false teachers from among you will rise up. False teachers from among you will rise up. And we will not be surprised today why there are so many local churches that have gone away from the word. Because false teachers from among them have risen, and they have directed the mission and the vision of the church towards the world. As a result, we do not have a Bible-based, Christ-centered church. So, towards others, let's reach out. The local church must reach out. reach out to sinners with the gospel, by all means save some. Reach out to them. Reach out to sister churches. You see, while I say that the local church is self-independent, it's independent, it is also intrapendent. In other words, there should be fellowship. There should be communion among sister churches. We have got 7 assemblies in Penang. 4 on the island, 3 on the province. I can guarantee that many of you don't even know these assemblies, especially those on the mainland. Some of these people, or I should say, some of you have not even stepped in among them. We do not seem to have fellowship among the sister churches. Now, it's important that we know them. We know them. And we have fellowship with them. We are independent. We stand on our own feet. But there's nothing wrong. And there is a need for us to have communion with them, to have fellowship with them. And that's why we have the East Evening Mission Night. Mission Night is the night when we gather all the assemblies in Penang to come to listen to the how people from elsewhere go out and challenge the people with the Great Commission. My dear friends, my dear sisters, and I mean this from my heart, the Mission Night has been in existence for 15 years. Tonight is the last but one night. Next 2 months, October, we shall close Mission Night. No more. The publication of the Mission Night, the e-course, will be published for the last time tonight. And tomorrow, and next Mission Night, we will just give out a souvenir to close the whole project. Sadly, I'm very sure, and I'm not exaggerating, if I say 50% of you have not been to Mission Night. Sad, isn't it? 15 years we have been in existence, and you have never stepped into the Mission Night at all. But we thank the Lord for those who have been faithful, not only stepping into Mission Night, but faithfully praying for the missionaries through the ECOS. But everything is going to come to an end. 15 years, we feel we have done our duty. We have created mission awareness that before 15 years, before the last 15 years, we never saw. Today, every assembly on the island has sent out a missionary abroad. We are proud to say that. And we trust that the assemblies in Penang will continue to be challenged by the Mission Commission, to Great Commission, to go out into the world and to be witnesses. May you take the opportunity of this last but one Mission Night to come. And today, we make it very special. We have brought in our brother, Mr. Ahmad, and his wife, ma'am, all the way from Phuket, just to tell us what the Lord is doing in Phuket. And if you miss that, that will be your last opportunity, because you will not hear about a mission report anymore in this manner. Perhaps Bumbaral Hall will carry on with the Mission Night in other forms, but no more in this manner. May you take this challenge. But we must not only reach out to those who are our sister churches. What about those who call on the name of the Lord? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul gave his greetings to all those who call upon the name of the Lord. Now, we are not exclusive. We are not saying that we are the only ones who are right and all others are wrong. You know, today, although we do not agree with many of these other denominational churches, which we feel are not biblical in a certain sense, yet we feel that they are our brethren. That whether we like it or not, if they have really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, one day we shall see them up in heaven. They are members of the universal church as well. We are going to see them, whether we like it or not. Whether we like what they are doing now, it doesn't matter. But one day we shall see them. And we hope that we shall be able to say hello to them. Although we would not allow them to come in to take this platform, because they may teach things that we do not believe in. But they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are saints who have called upon the name of the Lord, and they have believed. And we extend our recognition of that. But our fellowship will be a different form. And so let us reach out. Reach out. Now only I come to the study of today's stuff. Topic. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I have a series. I shall be continuing this in October. That is a great advantage. Now, it's strange, isn't it? That there should be all these there should be problems in the local church. And I want to tell you this, that the problems that you encounter in Balmoral Gospel Hall are not much different from the problems that the early church in Corinth encountered. Acts chapter 18 verse 1 tells us of how the church in Corinth was founded by Paul. In verse 8, Crispus and his family came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they started the gathering of the believers there. Verse 11, Paul was told by the Lord, stay in Corinth. Don't run away. The people are against you. They want to go for your life. Don't run away. Stay and teach. And for 1.5 years, Paul stayed to teach the church of Corinth. Privileged church. Wonderful church. In a way. Because God gave Paul, gave them special teaching that he never gave to any other churches, other local churches. For example, do you read of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church? God is the head of man. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. And then the development of that principle from chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, right through. You don't read of this in other chapters, except Christ is given a preeminence in Colossians. Do you read of the Lord's Supper and its institution in the way that we have observed it this day? It came as a special revelation to Paul and given to the church at Corinth. Do you read of this special love that we must cultivate among ourselves as members of the local church? That all these things, you must love. Love is the most prominent. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You don't read it of his letters to other churches. Do you read of the wonderful defense of the resurrection of Christ in chapter 15? We don't read it. But it's only to the church at Corinth. No wonder the Paul said, you come behind in no gift at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. No gifts at all. You are a very gifted church. And yet, this church, Paul warned them, subversives have come in. You are puffed up. You don't take action. This great privileged church was full of problems. Problem number one, Paul's appeal for unity in the church. Remember, the local church must portray and reflect the unity of the universal church. And first instance, they already failed. In chapter 1 and verses 10 to 30, we read of Paul's appeal to the unity in the church. There was disunity. Because, he says there, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, it does not mean that when you speak the same thing, everybody here is like a parrot, each one parroting the other person. Speak the same thing. But rather, all of us are members of the body of Christ, as a church of Christ. All of us have the same vision, have the same goal, have the same intention. We may have different ideas of the forms, all the vision may take, the mission may take, whatever it is, but we have one thing and one thing in mind. Christ be preeminent. That we be united in one heart, soul and spirit. And we go out to reach out to the unbelievers. Yes, but they were disunited. Why? They were quarreling among themselves. over little things. Now, when church members quarrel over little things, it's bad. You cannot even allow certain things that come into your lives that you may not agree with to just, wow, let go perhaps, or treat them later on in another time. But you must insist on your right at that time, and you must quarrel about it. Now, that is not right. That is not right. That will only bring disunity into the church. There were personal cults among them. Some were saying, I'm of Apollos. Some were saying, I'm of Cephas. Some, I'm of Paul. And so on. Now, cults are the most dangerous. Personal cults. When members of the body of Christ single themselves out and put themselves out as the heroes, as the fighters of a certain cause, and gather people around them, that is very dangerous. Personal cults. Let us beware of personal cults. And let us not have personal cults among our midst. Leaders must be looking out for these personal cults. Now, we were at the APEC, and then Amakyo Assembly was telling us that among their members of the oversight, when they discuss things, there must be unanimity before any decision would be carried out. And if there was none, they would pray about it, they would defer the decision. But when a decision was made, all members of the oversight must agree. And under no circumstances must any one of them go out and say, yeah, all these people, they want that, but I fought against it. And gather a group of people under them to say, to become their hero. Now that should never be among the leaders. There must be unanimity. And so we find that personal cults are the most dangerous. We need to be careful of that. When there's fighting, when there are all these personal cults, and there are all these controversies around, of course, there will be no more interest in the preaching of the gospel. And the preaching of the cross is regarded as foolishness. Why preach the cross? That's not important. Let's put things right among ourselves. And the putting things right among themselves is to justify what they are saying, what they are doing, and so on. So we need to keep holy, sacred, the unity of the Spirit. Next, they professed to be wise and opted out of God's calling for them. In chapter 1, verse 24. Unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Those of us who are called to serve Him, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God in us. We have to be wise in the Word of God. They were childish as a result and carnal. Paul says in chapter 3, I want to feed deep things of God to you, but you cannot take it. You are like children drinking milk. You do not know how to eat meat. And therefore, as a result, I cannot give you the deeper things of God. Now, this is true. I was at Taichung Christian Assembly in Taiwan 2 weeks ago. And I was teaching on the tabernacle. I was teaching on the tabernacle. And I take off my hat to all those who were present at the meetings. They were there from 1:30 p.m. to 9:30, listening to me with only 1 hour's break for dinner. All those hours, listening deeply to what was preached to them, taught to them concerning the tabernacle. And who were there? Only the older ones. Younger ones are no more there. They are not interested. They are not interested. Not only are they young in chronological age, but they are also young in spiritual age. Babes. They are not interested. And I asked those present, how many of you have ever heard the tabernacle teaching being taught in the meetings? Very few can recall. Now, it is time that we need to go for the deeper things of God. I'm happy in a way that in this assembly we have many of the deeper truths being taught. Some of them are from the Old Testament, especially the last few months, and they were difficult to understand. But do not give up. You need to understand the deeper things of God. They chose their ministers. They should know these were complementary. Oh, this speaker, he's good. I'll listen to him because he's light. This speaker, he's deep. Cannot understand him. I would not like to listen to him. And they start to choose their speakers. They do not realize that these speakers, Paul or Cephas or some Apollos, each one would complement the other. One would sow, the other would water. And so some would teach the more shallow things from the word. Others would teach the deeper things, and so on. But each one is complementary. Everyone needs the other, and you must listen to all so that you will get the whole counsel of the word of God. So Paul argued from the adoption of the wisdom of the world and not the word and not the wisdom of the world. Chapters 2 and 3. Today we find there's a lot of preaching that entices, excellent, with wonderful words and illustrations, and with gorgeous pictures that entertain. Let us beware of this kind, because while these are very attractive, they lose the power of the Spirit. So we need to beware of such kind of preaching. The Spirit's wisdom versus the world's wisdom. Chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. We have God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. I have no time to go through all this in detail, but you can note them down if you are taking down notes. Have the Lord's mind, the mind of Christ, to learn all things. Chapter 2, verse 16. And so we find that even those whom we invite to speak here, we must ensure that they are not those who entice people with attractive words, but who can give us the correct teaching from the word. That is important. We are so prone to listen to those who can entertain us with enticing words, but not those who can speak of the wisdom of God and His word. Now, going back to chapters 2 and 3, we go back to service. Now, I said just now that hopefully all of us here will be involved in service of one kind or the other. You have been given a word, a gift. Make use of that gift. Now, in chapter 3, verses 9 to 15, we find that service is likened to a building of a structure. First, the foundation is laid. The cornerstone is put down. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul has laid the foundation too. Now, on this we shall build our building. What are we building? There are two types of service structures that we need to consider. One, there are those who build on the foundation, wood, hay, stubble. The other, on the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. Wood, hay, stubble maintains a big quantity. It's impressive. Wow, look how much is done in that service. Gold, silver, precious stones does not reflect that quantity, but it reflects quality. It is small, it's little, and perhaps hardly seen, but there's tremendous quality. So we need to know there are two forms. And what work are we involved in? Work that involves wood, hay, stubble, or work that involves gold, silver, precious stones. And there are only two rewards. It will be tested by fire, and then two results or two rewards will follow. One will be rewarded, and the other will suffer loss, but will be saved. If your works, your service is wood, hay, stubble, just on quantity, no actual motivation to serve Christ, but to promote self, all that will be burnt up. The other, gold, silver, precious stones, all for Christ. So work very hard, yet not seen, but behind the scene, all unto the Lord. Now these are the people who build on the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. Now, those who do not serve well, they will suffer loss. They will suffer loss. But they will be saved. In verse 15, it is like a house that is on fire. The fire will burn the house, but the people will come out safe, but nothing to bring out. Those who build on the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, will be rewarded. And we are told definitely of 5 crowns that will be given. And perhaps for those who are overcomers, 7 privileges as listed in Revelation 2 and 3. Well, whatever it is, let us be sure that those, although their works will be burnt, wood, hay, stubble, they will never be lost. Because they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? On the basis of these 2 foundation facts. You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You are sanctified. Chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. You are the temple of God, and you therefore belong to God, and the Spirit dwells in you. But then you must also know that you are Christ, and Christ is God's, and therefore you are saved. It is as God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has promised. No one can snatch you out of my Father's hand. No one can snatch you out of my hand. I and my Father are one. And so you are doubly saved, protected by the Son, protected by the Father, all safe and secure. Now, time forbids me to go on, but I will stop at chapter 5. Chapter 5 tells us of another big problem. There was in that local church an immoral problem where a son has fornication with the father's wife, the mother. Sad, isn't it? Incest. There was incest in the church. There was immorality in the church. But the church did not take any action. They were puffed up with their inaction. Paul says, you are all puffed up. You know that there is such a case of immorality, and yet you are doing nothing about it. How can that be? How can that be? And Paul says, look, I judge the whole thing from outside and say it's all wrong. But note please, Paul did not take any action. Paul said the action must be taken by you. What should be done would be the person should be approached and in front of 2 witnesses be told that he is wrong. Then this matter must be brought before the oversight together with the person, and this matter must be dealt with. And if he still refuses to repent, then this whole matter must be brought to the church, and the church must decide, and the church must take action. That's what Paul says. And he said to the church at Corinth, take action, put him out of the church, put him so that Satan can deal with him, rather than let him stay in the church and be like leaven, a little leaven. But soon that little leaven may grow and grow and grow, and it may puff up and it will be too late. No, you need to push up. Sometimes we say, we must show love. We must show love. We must not take such kind of action. Now that's wrong. Love has its place. Has its place. But when it comes to indiscipline, immorality, love must show to take action to the extent that action is taken so that that brother who has committed wrong will realize it, and prayerfully the whole church will pray and pray that the Lord will speak to him and bring the person back into the church. Restoration. Action is taken to the extent that it will bring us back, restoration. But rather than allow it to breed and breed and breed, until finally the whole church is a lump of leaven. So, chapter 5, verses 9 to 13, they needed to part company with those who are immoral, idolaters, etc. There's a list in verses 9 to 13. Why all this? Remember this. Your bodies are the spirit's dwelling. They will be destroyed if defiled. God says, know you not that the spirit dwells in you? Know you not that you are the temple of God? And if you defile the body, I will destroy you. And that's why it is so important that those of us who are in the local church must know all these things. Now, I will stop here. I'll continue in October. But suffice to say that these are very important challenges to local church, to the leaders, to the members, to every one of us, that we take heed to all these things before the not so good things befall us because of our inaction and allowing leaven to develop amidst us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us of thy love for us, thy love to the extent that the Lord Jesus Christ came down to go to the cross, being made obedient unto death, that he would die for us and give himself a ransom for us. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for that love. And we also realized that that love will forgive a multitude of sins. But Lord, we also know that where sin is to be dealt with, we need to deal with. We do pray that would give us a grace when such a time comes to deal with sin accordingly. So lead us, guide us, that Lord, as members of this local church, all of us will give thee the preeminence as head of this local church, and that we will be all united together in one mind, in one spirit, and together we go out in one mission, with one vision, in one mission, with the passion for action in the days that lie ahead, especially when we look forward to the time when we shall occupy the new building, that new building will be a beacon of testimony for thee where we shall be. So hear us, Lord, we do pray, as we commit ourselves to thee in the blessed and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.